So, greetings and love to all. Good morning, Regina. Good morning, Jackie. Hello, everybody. So, welcome to Sunday. So let's just take a few minutes and connect, introduce each other. I think we already mostly know each other, but just say hi and say a welcome, a greeting, and we can play our welcoming song, and I believe Regina will be our musical host for this morning, because Lynn is on her way back from Boston. So, turning it over to you, Regina.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you here in church. And I'm going to play a portion of Awakening by Deborah Pamell and Mitten as we greet one another.
Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in
Jay, I'm turning the mic back over to you.
Thank you so much. I always loved that song in the beginning. I'd like to read our statement of purpose this morning. Here at Awakening Together, we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I'd like to mention the first core value for today. We trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. And it's so important for us to remember that, because as we each go through our walk, our practice is our own, and every brother and sister that we have here with us can't ever be expected to be anything other than what they are doing right now. And we must see that that's whole and perfect and absolutely perfect for them right now. And it's such a great way to transcend the dogma, too, because each path that is truly each individual's anyway is exactly what it's supposed to be. So there are some announcements this morning. The winter retreat entitled The Spirit of Surrender is going to be in Canyon City next year in February from the 26th to the 28th. Let me correct just one thing here in the recording. Apologize for that. Hold on one second here. The speakers for this retreat are going to be Brent Haskell, the author of Journey Beyond Words and The Other Voice, and Regina Dawn Akers. Jacqueline Eckert and also myself will also be able to make this a really, really superb retreat experience for you guys. We'll be there as staff. And the single room rate for the retreat, including all the meals, is going to be $350. So shared accommodations also available, including meals, is $275. And the shuttle service that's available can take you from Colorado Springs to the retreat center. And you can get the full details under the website, under the events menu. Let me turn up the volume. Hold on just a minute here. We're having some technical challenges this morning. Is that any better? Is that any better? Yes. Okay. All right. Let me switch the recording here. If I use stereo mix, the recording level is very, very low. I have to just switch to the mic input, and then it's fine. So that's the issue there. Let me switch this here. There we go. Okay, that's much better. The recording level should be much, much higher now. Okay. Also, another announcement is you have the opportunity to begin, and this only happens once every rare while, to begin the Ministerial Preparation Program here at Awakening Together. There is a free Intro to MPP class. The purpose of this class is to give you information about the program so you can really decide if it's for you. This is people that maybe have heard about it or heard others receiving the benefits that they've gotten from it. This material really came through Regina. This isn't from her intellectual mind. This is truly from spirit. This course is amazing, and when you do take it, it's actually very clear that it is from spirit the whole way through. And Regina's mind is a willing participant and servant and channeler. I didn't want to call it channeling, but scribe for this course is truly awesome. If you do come to this class and you decide that MPP isn't for you, of course that's fine. It's just an intro. It's a lot of people tend to go to this that are just possibly curious, and the full curriculum does begin in January. So if you're interested or curious, just register for the course, and it's under the courses, the classes menu on the website. There's a class during Tuesday during the day, and then Wednesday during the evening. And you can see the details as to who's facilitating these classes on the website as well. So tonight is going to be a really special night in the sanctuary. There's some changes that the sanctuary will undergo in the programs we offer, kind of like a remodeling project. We're not planning to make these changes, you know, unconsciously or in some sort of silo. We really want to hear from you guys, too, everybody in the membership. We'd want to know, you know, what you'd like to see offered in the sanctuary. Tonight is the meeting regarding the sanctuary remodeling project. We really want you to come to it. Even if, you know, we don't think you have any ideas, just come on anyway. And we're just going to do discussion and brainstorming. You know, some idea might come to you. You never know. So please come participate. It's 8 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. So that is the announcements. Yeah, and so if you want to check out the intro classes, those are going to be in the classes menu. They currently actually are in the classes menu. And I will turn it back over to our musical director, G. Don Akers, for the opening chant or song.
I'm glad you added or song because I don't have a chant. I do have a song. The name of this song is Forgiveness, and it's by Matthew West.
It's the hardest thing to give away, and the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. If the opposite of how you feel, when the pain they cause is just too real, takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. Moves away the man inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
Thank you.
That was absolutely beautiful. I was just taken into that. Join me in an invocation prayer as we just go within. I give my acknowledgement, dear God, that you are the presence in which I live, and every part of myself is within, God. I know that my heart will be realized in spirit through grace, unless I desire to block love and thus imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release in my heart and in the sight of all brothers, because I recognize that we will only be released together, united as one. In this spirit, I choose to see me being within you and all brothers within you too. I thus see no separation between God and me and in whom all I see. In this, I know I am healed. Amen.
Amen.
And now I have sent a scan over to Dances, as I asked her and she agreed to read for me in this gathering. This is from a book called The Sufi Book of Life, and it is a wonderful book of little pathways and wonderful truths scattered throughout the book, and just little two-page snippets, and there's a little meditation at the end, and quotes, and it's from the sort of Islamic tradition, specifically the Sufi tradition. And the title of section 34 is The Forgiveness of Light, called Al-Ghafur in their tradition. And I think it has some beautiful essence and message that I want to help work into the message for today. And yes, it was a wonderful poetry from that tradition as well that I found very helpful and very inspirational at different times. So I'd like to turn it over to Dances, and there's some highlighted section on a story that I will read. And Regina is also putting up in the room, there's going to be a Sufi Book of Life study beginning Wednesday, January 6th at 7 p.m. And I'm going to definitely put that on my calendar. 7 p.m. Now that's Eastern time. Okay. Wednesday. Got it. Okay, very good. If I can't participate, I will definitely record it and listen to it later. So turning the mic over to you, Dances.
Okay, good morning, everyone. First off, can I be heard? Do I need to adjust volume or anything? Okay. And I'm going to turn my laptop sideways. The scan came in sideways, so give me 1 second. All right. One day when the Prophet Muhammad was sitting with his companions, one of them saw him smiling and asked about it. The Prophet responded, quote, "One day two believers will kneel before Allah, and one will ask for compassion or for compensation for the wrong that the other has done to him. Allah will then ask the accused to make his compensation, but he will respond, 'O sustainer, I don't have a single good action left to give him.' Then can't he carry some of my burdens?" the accuser asked. Muhammad commented, "It will be a truly terrible day in human history when people are not able to carry their own burdens. Then Allah will ask the accuser to look into the Garden of Paradise and describe what he sees." Let's see if I can scroll down. I have to scroll. I'm turning this sideways. Oh, so sorry, y'all. Okay. "I see cities of silver palaces of gold crowned with pearls. What great prophet will possess these? Only those who pay the full price said the one being. But who, O sustainer, could possibly do that? You can, by forgiving your brother. O sustaining one, I do so immediately. Then take your brother's hand and enter paradise together. Muhammad told his companions, be astounded by the love of the one. Make peace among yourselves now, or Allah will establish his own peace among you on the day of resurrection. Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you. And getting back over to where I can turn the mic back over to you. There we go.
Thank you, Dances. Yeah, when I scanned these two pages into my scanner, it turned the text sideways because of how I laid the book on the glass. And so that's a good lesson to learn, to scan maybe two different pages in the future. So they'll come up right side up to whoever's reading. I just went inside to prepare for this talk for today, which I deliberately don't do a lot of heavy intellectual preparation for. I always try to keep this very light on the side of heavy book research and formatting and preparation so that I can be open to whatever is flowing through at the moment. But I was guided to open the Sufi Book of Life. I really like this book. I really like the course that I'm have the honor of facilitating right now. And if you do have the book, it's on page 92 to 93. And I went inside and I asked Spirit what would be a good topic for us to focus on for today that I should be reading. And I just stilled my mind and opened the book, and we opened it to this page, The Forgiveness of Light. Al-Ghafur, it's called. And let's just be with that image of light bathing us, like we're just having a cup of coffee at a table, looking out the window, and we feel the light of the sun on our face, and it feels so warm, and it feels so good, and it's just so pure. And we have that feeling of openness in our heart, and anything that is encrusted in our heart becomes loosened. Al-Ghafur, the forgiveness of light, there's a snippet at the beginning of each one of these very small sections in the book. And they're called pathways. And there's a message in the beginning of each one of them. And this one says, when you are guided to this pathway, take the opportunity to touch the place in you that can deeply understand the situation. And so release an impression you are holding, or heal a wound you are nursing. Release an impression you are holding, or heal a wound you are nursing. And I also went into Spirit and opened up the Course in Miracles to an exact spot. And lo and behold, Spirit brought me to a section in chapter 11 called Walking to Redemption that exactly relates to this very thing. Now, I would not have been able to find this section in the Course in Miracles on page 207 that quickly. There's a lot of efficiency here working with Spirit. It just simply is practically smart. Okay. Perceptions are built upon the basis of experience, and experience leads to beliefs. It is not until beliefs are fixed that perceptions stabilize. I repeat, chapter 11, section 6, paragraph 1, sentence 3. It is not until beliefs are fixed that perceptions stabilize. Let's go back to Al-Ghafur. So as to release an impression you are holding. So as to release an impression you are holding. It is exactly how these impressions get formed, right? And the Course goes on to talking about you know, you basically have to believe what you see. It's impossible to not believe what you see, but you can see something different. Your sight can be changed. And, you know, as we really get into this story, you know, we really think about purification. We think about how can anything we're holding on to that's a perception of ourself or another be burned away? How can we get out of this seeming either short-term or long-term perception of ourselves as being a certain way or having a certain negative or undesirable quality of some sort? You know, the truth is nothing is undesirable when you embrace it, because then it becomes acceptable. And that's the key. And that's what I practice every day. That's what I practice constantly in my relationships, in my life. You know, when you feel you have sinned, or we look upon another and we feel they have sinned, and this happens very quickly until we train our mind otherwise, right? This movement of the sight of someone's error or mistake that they've done. Maybe everyone in the world would agree that this person sinned and they did hurt you in some way. They did make a mistake, or everyone would agree that you made a mistake and you sinned and that you did wrong. You know, it's interesting because this story talks about, you know, the sustainer, which is basically God. And he's saying, you know, the sustainer asks the accused to make this compensation. But the accused will respond, this is the one who sinned. This is either you or another person that, you know, you think you've done wrong. You think you or have something you're holding inside that's stuck. You don't feel that you have anything to give at that moment. You don't feel you can, you know, the well is dry. You feel empty. You don't feel that you can give anything because you're in that prison of guilt or whatever it's in. And you say, well, can't this other person carry some of my burdens? And that's like us saying, you know, I'm going to put some of my guilt on this other person, right? I'm going to make it partly their fault that this occurred, right? If they hadn't have been so and so and so, if they hadn't have done such and such, then I wouldn't have had to do that, right? See, it's their fault. See how I twisted that around? We try to make, through blame, others carry the burdens. You did it. I didn't do it. You did that. That's what kids do. You know, they put it on somebody else. But we act like children. We act like immature children when we do that. And we do it in more dressed up ways as adults, right? We put better words on it. We put more sophisticated sounding terminology to it. But it's really the same thing as a little kid pointing to another little kid saying, "You did it." You know, and Muhammad is commenting here, hey, you know, it's going to really be a terrible day when we all can't carry our own burdens. We have to accept responsibility for our choices and for our thoughts and say, okay, I was doing this. Yes, I thought this negative thought. I stole from this person. I rejected this person. Or as we've talked about recently, there's other ways to attack too. You can attack by withholding your attention from someone. You can deliberately pull away as like a passive attack. So there's a lot of different ways we can do this attack back in some form. You know, and if we, in the story that Dance has read, Allah, you know, ask the accuser, not the accused. This is the one accusing the other of sin. This is us accusing ourselves of a mistake or us accusing another of a mistake. To look into the Garden of Paradise and see what you see. Look into heaven. Look into that sacred, pure place within us. And what do we behold? We behold completely pure things, incorruptible things. That's why the reference to gold is often used when it's referring to heaven or something perfect or pure, because if you study the properties of gold, it never deteriorates and it doesn't react to anything. It's what's called an inert metal. You can put acid on it and it doesn't react to the acid. It doesn't react to anything. So in that pure, loving state, we react to nothing. In that state of heaven, in that state of beauty, we do not react. We see no guilt. We see no sin. It's okay. We move into the acceptance. We move into the acceptance. And so, how do we move into that space? And it's, we have to let go of our judgment. We have to let go of what we think we did wrong, or what we think those other people did wrong against us. Because the truth is what we're seeing, as we all know, and we've heard a thousand times, is exactly what we're projecting. It's us. If there's an unpleasantness that's arising, it's there for us. It's there for us. You know, no more sacred place exists on earth where an ancient enemy has become a present friend. You know, and Regina is commenting about the desire. We have to want this. And one of the greatest motivators, and as this story describes, is our pain is oftentimes the greatest motivator. That's the most common form of motivation. Our spiritual aspiration is oftentimes, for those that are truly passionate about spirituality, about awakening, can also serve as a great motivation for us. So, one of the ways this pathway is calling to us is to open our heart to that healing power. And what other deeper insight? And that deeper insight that this can give us in this situation is always coming to us through grace. It's always coming to us from a source that's outside of our ego, body, mind. It's important for us to remember that it's never in that, we'll never be able to figure it out intellectually. We have to let go and let that moment of compassion enter our being for what it is that we think we did wrong, what it is we hold against ourselves. Or for being the way we think we are. You've got to just be with it and enter into that palace of silver and gold, crowned with pearls, just like this poem is talking about, just like the story describes, that place of innocence where it's okay. And that can be burned from us and purified from us through that wisdom, that inner wisdom, through the Holy Spirit, through the presence that is greater than us, be burned off of us. And we can be letting go, and we can hold the hand of our friend again and enter into that space with our friend, knowing that it's not going to keep happening, knowing that you don't turn yourself into a doormat just because you accept and forgive. That's not what this is talking about. This isn't talking about abuse and wanting to continuously sign up for more abuse. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about going within. Every time I let my attention go off of the other person, I can go within, and I can be in that space where I know that this is for me, and I can be with whatever pain or discomfort comes up, and I can let it burn off, and I can know that it is in my mind that I'm holding that grip, that tight grip. So here's the story again. One day, when the Prophet Muhammad was sitting with his companions, one of them saw him smiling and asked him about it. The Prophet responded, "One day, two believers will kneel before Allah, and one will ask for compensation for the wrong that the other has done to him. Allah will then ask the accused to make his compensation. But he will respond, 'O sustainer, I do not have a single good action left to give him.' Then can't he carry some of my burdens?" the accuser will ask. Muhammad commented, "It will truly be a terrible day in human history when people are not able to carry their own burdens." Then Allah will ask the accuser to look into the Garden of Paradise and describe what he sees. And this is the person seeing the sin, the accuser, the one pointing a finger saying, "You did this. I see cities of palace, cities of silver, palaces of gold crowned with pearls. What great prophet will possess these? Only those who can pay the full price, said the one being. But who, O sustainer, could possibly do that? You can, by forgiving your brother. O sustaining one, I will do so immediately. Then take your brother's hand and enter paradise together. Muhammad told his companions, be astounded by the love of the one. Make peace among yourselves now, or Allah will establish his own peace among you on the day of resurrection. And so, in this passage, we see that never separate, never apart, can we enter a state of peace, right? We just can't. We are one, all of us. We are one. And until we see that, we can't be at peace. Now, differences in form, of course, don't ever equate to... there are always going to be differences in form, but we don't focus on those. We don't see those as what's real. You know, the truth of it is I am surrounded by Muslim people in my part of Chicago quite often. There's probably, I'd say, 1 in 50 or 1 in 30 Muslims. There's a huge Muslim population down here. Hundreds of thousands of Muslims live in this part of Chicago. So I am constantly surrounded by people of an entirely different culture, belief system, etc. And there's been times where I felt like a separating energy from them, like directed to me, like they don't make eye contact, there's no... And so I actually got into a little bit of judgment about, I'm like, wow, they're kind of like this separating energy. So I was accusing them of having a separating energy. And then, ironically, I'm also like studying Sufi, which is an Islamic tradition. And I'm realizing that my thought of thinking about them, that they're kind of emanating this separating energy, is me... projecting guilt onto them, that this is me being the accuser. I'm falling into separation in seeing that. So what it was reflecting to me, and then maybe this is why this is coming up for me now and this is relevant to me, is I can't see that. I can only see connection. Even when someone seemingly project separation right at me, I can still move behind that and beyond that and smile and be kind and see the light and see and connect with what is behind that, the eternal spirit. And stay open, stay flexible, stay unencrusted, you know. You know, this is what was meant by blessed are ye who have not seen and still believe. For those who believe in the resurrection will see it. That's interesting that, wow, this is amazing. On section 34 is talking about there will be peace among the day of resurrection. And the section I opened up to in the course is also referencing resurrection. And it's the resurrection is the complete triumph of Christ over the ego, not by attack but by transcendence. For Christ does rise above the ego and all its works and ascends to the Father and his kingdom. That's beautiful. And so I think the whole teaching of the resurrection of crucifixion is, do I want to practice forgiveness, which is the resurrection, or do I want to practice judgment, which is the crucifixion? So it's neat to see how, you know, these two religions that are seemingly separate, Islam and Christianity, references to Jesus and Christ, are actually saying the same thing. They're not different at all. There's actually no need for any religious discord whatsoever, because they are all, as we're talking about right now, it's literally saying the same thing. So I think it's important to realize that. And that can be a great source of healing in and of itself, any judgments we have towards those of other religions that maybe are different than what we grew up with. Even if you don't feel resonated with that religion yourself, you can still release your judgment about it. You know, because as we all know, projection makes perception, and when we allow that perception to be healed, we have the healed perception, and we are able to see the face of Christ in our brother. We're able to look past what we see as a fault. And so, you know, I pray that I may hold perfection, I may hold, perfection is not the right word I'm looking for, hold innocence. And there's kind of a feeling I get sometimes when I'm in that space and I can really practice that, where I'm looking at people and I'm connecting with them, and it's hard to describe. It's like there's some little sweet kernel of something I can connect with in that individual, and it's beyond words, and it's not even consciously processed. It's just kind of like in the air, in the background, in my heart, in the, I am them. I can connect with them regardless of who they are and or the outer packaging of this person. And I've got to believe somewhere, somehow, that they're aware of that. That at some, even unconscious level, they've got to be aware that I'm feeling this connection with them. And Regina's making a very good point about the errors that are in both the Bible and the Quran. And it's important to have clarity so that you can see past the judgments and the errors that, that you definitely can be led down, as many are on both sides often. The source of it is not the text, it's the ego. It's the ego mind and its thinking system, which is always going to be ready to come in there based on the desire of the person to awaken and to see truth and to want to forgive. You know, and so as we accept that opening in our own heart, in our own life, we can see more and more how people are living in me. And maybe at those times when I am feeling that connected and that love with other people, I am seeing how they live in me. You know, just like the invocation prayer about how may I see myself and all my brothers living together in God. Together. We're here together. Even though there can be seeming discord, I don't have to see it like that. I can just still see beyond that and see the worth of every person. Have you ever looked at someone and you felt like they had a look of hopelessness in their eyes? Have you ever interacted with anyone like that? And when I see them and I connect with them, it's almost like I feel the hopelessness, or I feel that, want to call it negative energy, or the essence of this hopelessness or whatever it is that I'm connected. But it's like that sort of goes by like a train, and there's a connection underneath it that can be made, that it's not that you reject the hopelessness or worthlessness feelings. It's just there, but you don't believe it. You know, it's like it's there, but you look past it. It's not, you don't reject it, you don't accept it, it just sort of floats by, and you can connect underneath. And then the person can smile, and there's, you know, a connection there, and there's light. There's light. Just like the title of this section, the forgiveness of light. It's like opening a door. And that, to me, that is the resurrection. Giving love where there was hopelessness, giving light where there was darkness, giving reassurance where there was fear, giving the feeling of love and being held by someone that so cares about you, from someone that feels alone, or if you do feel alone, to feel held and cared for and supported. Someone to laugh with if you feel sad. You know, this is the redemption, the resurrection, the path that forgiveness leads us to. You know, and it's, as this section talks about, a large part of this pathway is, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And something that's being written on the board, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Thank you. You know, and it really is that little willingness that we talk about oftentimes, that desire, that spark of, hey, I'm open to another way here, that we can practice with, like, the little things throughout the day. The little things. Because every time you have that feeling of disappointment or loss or irritation, those are all for you. Every single one of them is for you. Those are all opportunities for purification to happen. Every single one of them. And so let's take a minute and just sit with this energy. And welcome to everyone that's come in. This is our morning gathering that we're having. And we're now just wrapping up the teaching section of the morning. And we're going to go into an open meditation and contemplation. And give people a feeling, opportunity to donate if they feel like they are guided to do so. We do operate a lot off of donations from members. And link, Barb put up a link. We're going to put up a link if you want to click on to donate. And I'm going to turn it back over to Regina to play the music so we can all rest in this open meditation and contemplation. Turning it over to you, Regina.
Thank you very much, Jay. This song is called I Invite Love Here, and it's by Cortana.
Forgive me, I'm sorry, I love you. Thank you for what you reveal. The part of this I share, the false belief I bear, the memory that wants to heal. Forgive me, I'm sorry, I love you. Thank you for showing your face. By challenging my peace, you help me to release this notion that I'm separate from grace. Knowing peace begins with me. I stand before us, for we know not what we do.
Beautiful. Regina, you are an awesome music director. That is awesome. You've played some really good songs. I found some good stuff there. You can DJ at my spiritual party anytime. Anytime. You can do a little sidelighting business if you, you know, want to there. So, yeah, let's just move into an open sharing period. I'd like to hear from you guys and maybe hear what thoughts came up, no matter how seemingly insignificant you think they are. And let's take about 20 minutes or so and just pass the mic around and see and check in and hear from everyone. I think there's a lot we all gain from hearing your wonderful voice here as well as mine during the time here as we interact, as we share, as we sort of commune in fellowship here. So giving up the mic.
I'll take the mic for a moment. I love the story, Jay. Even though I have the Sufi Book of Life, I have not read all of it. If I've read this particular story before, I've forgotten it. I love the story, and you know, I contemplated it as you were teaching it, which is why I asked you to read it again, because I knew that I was already forgetting parts of what Dances had read. So as I was listening to you, I was also contemplating the story. And as you know, whenever we set with anything, the longer we set with it, the deeper it goes. And so I'm sure if I set with this story even longer, there will be deeper. But one of the things that really jumped out at me as I contemplated it is when Allah asked the accused to make his compensation to the one he had offended, right? The accused said, "O sustainer, I don't have a single good action left to give him." And as I contemplated that line in my mind, one of the things that I saw very clearly was whenever we ask someone else to change in any way, in order for us to feel happier, more peaceful, more secure, that's our mistake. And I felt that's what this line is really saying. I felt like the entire story was written to the accuser. And so when the accused is saying, I don't have a single good action left to give him, that's really the way the story is communicating to us. Do not ask someone else to change in any way or to do anything differently in order for you to feel better. Whenever you do that, you are making a mistake. I know that in my own family, my family knows this. We've talked about this, that they do not have to change in any way for me. You know, we have a very close relationship here, so of course I invite them that if they want to change for themselves, they may. You know, because obviously if I'm in ego and I'm, you know, being very egotistical in the family, I am suffering. So if I want to change for me, I can. And so if they want to change for them, they can. Like if they are tired of their own suffering and they want to let something go, they can. But no one has to change for me. You know, so this means that, of course, not only do my own family members not have to change for me, but none of you all have to change for me. Donald Trump does not have to change for me. Obama does not have to change for me. Hillary Clinton does not have to change for me. ISIS does not have to change for me. You know, we could do this all day. All of the different characters in the world that we think need to be different, that is our mistake. And I also loved in the story, and of course you hit on this point very, very well. I loved in the story where Allah asked the accuser, oh, I have read this before because I've underlined part of it. Isn't that funny? So I've read it before. I just forget things. I went and grabbed my book during the song. I loved it where Allah asked the accuser to look into the heart, or to look into the garden of paradise, which I perceive as the heart, and see what he sees. That reminded me of NTI Galatians chapter 6, where it teaches forgiveness. You know, what it says in NTI Galatians chapter 6 is for a moment, we have to turn our attention away from the grievance and turn our attention towards God and really contemplate God, contemplate our willingness, contemplate truth. And then once we have really contemplated God deeply, we can look back at the grievance and see it differently. And the reason for that is, of course, if I don't take the time to contemplate God first, I'm still in the wrong mind. You know, if I'm offended by you and I'm looking at you still in that offended mind, I'm not going to be able to see it differently. I have to take a break from my offended mind. I have to shift into a right mind where I can be reached by what we call Holy Spirit, reached by spiritual wisdom, and then look back and then see it differently. And so I really thought this was the exact same teaching as the process for forgiveness that's given in NTI Galatians chapter 6. Look away from your brother. First, contemplate God very deeply, shift into the right mind, and then look back, and then you'll be able to see it differently. So thank you very much, Jay. It was a gorgeous story. And as I mentioned before, but I'll just mention again while I have the mic, this entire book, the Sufi Book of Life, looks very simple when you first look at it. But as you contemplate it, you go deeper and deeper with it in such an amazing way. Everyone that I have taught in the MPP program, everyone I've taken through the Sufi Book of Life ends up loving it. Some people have resistance in the beginning, I think sometimes because it is Islamic. In fact, I even remember one person saying once, are you trying to convert us? I think he's here in the room. By the end of the course, he was Sufi himself, writing his own poetry. It was very funny. But it's a gorgeous, gorgeous book and very powerful, and we can go very deep within our own clarity through the teachings of this book. Because the book doesn't really teach at all. It really does merely point. And you must go into contemplation or you won't understand at all. You won't get any depth at all. So it really encourages us to go within. And so I will begin facilitating a group based on this book on Wednesday, January 6th at 7 p.m. Eastern, and then I'll do it every week for 2 years. And so anyone who wants to join me, even if you just want to join me for the first one, which will be kind of an introduction, please mark your calendar. Please come. If you want to order the book, it's called The Sufi Book of Life by Neil Douglas Klotz. And I notice Sonia has written in the room that Joe Goldsmith's process is the same. His process for forgiveness, the presence comes first, the divine comes, and then the healed mind. And by the way, someone suggested yesterday that we start a Joe Goldsmith group in this room. So you may see that coming as well. And one more thing while I have the mic. Please join us tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time so we can talk more about the richness that we can bring to the sanctuary. We'll get a much better list of possibilities if everybody takes the time to come. As Jay mentioned, even if you don't think you have ideas, please come, because as other people start sharing, that often will spark things in you. So just your presence here tonight is going to be very helpful. Thank you, Jay. The mic is yours.
Yeah, that was wonderful, what you were mentioning about the different symbols in the story. And I have to second what Regina was saying about the depth you can go to in the Sufi text. Like I mentioned, I had the honor of facilitating one of the MPP classes on Sufism that's actually happening right now. We're moving into the final week. And we skip around a lot in the book, which is what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to necessarily go through it in a linear fashion, even though that's maybe what Regina will do with her 2-year course. But just as a book of usefulness for your own inspiration, you can like do what I did, you know, last night, which is to hold the book in your hands and center yourself and just open it randomly to a spot that Holy Spirit guides you to look at what they call a pathway that could be very helpful to you at this particular moment. And a thought came to me as Regina was speaking before, but it's just like stew. The longer it sets, the better it gets. So I think that's helpful too. Teaching Book of Life by Wim, by whom? This book we're talking about right now is the Sufi Book of Life by Neil Douglas Klotz, which actually he has some other really good books too, a prayer book that's amazing as well. And, these little aspects of these stories, like the accuser, the accused, talks about like a vision of paradise or what we call heaven, and Regina mentioned that's how she sees the heart. That's where the wisdom, the heart is the doorway to go inside to these places. We don't get there through the intellect. We don't get to the palaces of silver and gold through the intellect. It just, believe me, I've tried. You can't get there through the intellect. I've spent decades trying. It doesn't work. you have to go through the heart. So, hello, Cristiano. Kathy, mic is all yours.
Good morning. I was going to say I really look forward to the Sufi class that will be starting in January. I am presently in the MPP Sufi class. This coming week is our last week already. It went by very, very quickly, and I would like to do some further exploration with the Sufi book, but also joining with others who will be sharing their own meditation and contemplation on it. And one of the things that I really like a lot about it is that each of the, I think Jay used the word snippets, they're literally short pages of reading addressing the 99 names of God. And within each one of them is generally some sort of a short story, a beginning, at the very beginning, under the name of God that might be for that day, is a short explanation telling you what the pathway is about. And then it goes on to maybe have a few words about that and then give you a short story as well as possibly some poetry, which I have found to be just great. I love the poetry. So it doesn't take a lot of time to go through one of these if you only have that amount of time in a day, but it's enough to set the mind in a space of contemplation and reflection where even if you have a busy day, you can simply hold in mind what the general gist of the thought is in these, you know, two and a half pages of information. So I think it's just a great addition to opening the mind to other ways of recognizing the infinite within all of us. So I will let the mic go. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy, for those thoughts. I love the poetry too. It's definitely interesting and inspirational and heart-centering. The Sufi is all about the heart. The Sufi is very romantic, poetic, intuitional, symbolic, heart-centered path and love-centered. And so for all those guided and drawn by those types of means or feel currently guided, please join in. I'm probably going to be listening to the recording for a while because I've got a lot of plans on Wednesday that I usually do, but we'll see. We'll see what we can figure out with that. But, That was another thought I was going to share, but just exited my mind quickly. Hal, oh, I see your hand up. Turn the mic over to you.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Jay, yeah, that was a great story to read this morning. I also really, really enjoyed the close class on Sufism. But what I wanted to mention was anybody that's even contemplating, thinking about doing the MPP course, I highly recommend it, because if you look at the story this morning from the Book of Life and then the parallel discussion in the Course in Miracles, what I find really amazing is that the words are different, but they're leading to the same teaching. And this is what we found out in MPP, reading and studying all the different mysticisms, that they all say the same thing. But because they're said differently, they may resonate differently with each individual, because every individual is very individual, and that what we hear and what resonates is often different. And having said that, I will drop the mic.
Okay, two things. One, Hal, thank you for letting everyone know, you know, how the MPP class is for you. And again, anybody who's interested, the last two intro classes are this week. So if you really would like to find out if MPP is for you, this week is the week to register for the intro classes. They're free and they're only 2 hours. And you can find out more about that at the Awakening Together website under the classes menu. But also, Paul wrote something in the room. He said, Krishnamurti strongly advised his pupils to avoid sacred texts like the plague. He urged attending to the now and what is going on. Eventually, there will be a big opening in the apparently solid wall. Studying sacred texts only prolongs sleep and encourages the feeling that one understands when this is not true. And the funny thing is, Sufis actually feel the same way, in that, although the Sufis study many texts, they obviously study the Quran, they study the Bible, they study Zen Buddhism, they mix all of this together. What the Sufis feel is that when every spiritual text was written, it was written then and for that scribe. And that if we study the spiritual text as if it's some holy book and the wisdom exists in the spiritual text, well, in the words of Paul and Krishnamurti, it will only prolong sleep. The Sufis say that wisdom must always be fresh, which means it must always be your own wisdom. That the only way that we awaken is through our own wisdom. And that, of course, is what Awakening Together is actually founded on the fact that we each have our own wisdom. All the spiritual texts are for, they're catalysts to get you to go within and discover your own wisdom. You could consider them like a springboard. Even to study A Course in Miracles as if the wisdom is in A Course in Miracles and you are going to learn from the book, that would be the same error that Krishnamurti is talking about. Again, the Sufis would say, and in fact, Bentinho Massaro said, A Course in Miracles was written 50 years ago. Today is not 50 years ago. The wisdom today is that fresh wisdom that comes from you, is the wisdom that we are really seeking, and the wisdom that we really want to get very, very good at accessing and listening to. And again, whether we're talking about the Sufi book, whether we're talking about the Bible, whether we're talking about A Course in Miracles, those are springboards to help us go within and access that fresh wisdom. But wisdom is always now, and wisdom is always through you. All right, so I'm going to release the mic. I think it's almost time for our song, Jay, but let me know when you want me to play the closing song. I see Dances wants to speak first. So Dances, the mic is yours.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you, and this has made me more deeply this reading and service and all the comments too, more deeply than anything has in quite some time. And I just want to thank you. This was excellent, excellent, excellent. Thank you all.
Yeah, I'd just like to let y'all know that Sonia and I have opened a new restaurant, and we have the True Plate Special for $9.95, Wisdom Prepared Fresh Daily. That is going to be our primary offering at the Divine Diner, we're going to call it. So all are welcome at our Divine Diner, True Plate Special. In fact, it's free. You know what? I'm going to discount it from $9.95 to nothing. It's free. Anyone that coming to the diner can experience this True Plate Special. I would like to thank Paul for writing on the board the Krishnamurti reference. I wrote on the board, too, that Krishnamurti was a very big part of my studies for the whole kind of middle part of my life. And what I love about Krishnamurti is that very thing. If I could distill all of Krishnamurti, it would be just that. If you saw some of these really old interviews he had with these psychologists and transpersonalists, he would actually get very irritated with them. Because they'd try to get him into these like very structured, like intellectual statements, and the way he worked with the interviewer was like, he kept undoing what the interviewer would try to do. so much of his teachings were, if you're thinking about loving someone, if you're thinking about loving, you're not loving. If you're thinking about being present in the moment of now, you're not actually being in the moment of now. He used all these ideas like that to convey to you that you can intellectualize anything, and that isn't the answer. The answer is to be in that fresh prepared wisdom moment now, unencumbered and unprotected by these beliefs and ideas and things and sacred texts and all this stuff. Just forget about all that. Just be in the moment. And yes, Krishnamurti did promote not reading and studying a lot of this stuff. He just promoted practice, which is why I love Awakening Together. And everything Regina's ever promoted and taught is all about practice. It's not about developing beliefs and getting into arguments over beliefs and texts. And that's why I like drawing from so many different texts. And maybe that's why I feel resonated with Sufism so much, because they draw from different texts too. Because it's about the practice. It's about what is being drawn to you in the moment to practice, so that it can be that True Plate Special prepared fresh daily at the Divine Diner. So, Sonia, I'll give you a call later. We'll figure out the business plan. We'll make that happen. Okay? All right, turning it over to you, Regina, for the mic, for the song. Wonderful being with all of you, and love everybody. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. Thank you for bringing that food for thought to our diner today. And this last song I'm playing is called Forgive It, and it's by James Eckhart.
Forever, I think you thought we will always be. another's gonna set you free. He's not another. Forgiveness gonna let you see that forever.
I want to thank everyone, as Jay has, thank everyone for coming and for participating either on the board or by taking the mic or just by listening with your heart. Usually Lynn takes the mic now for our social hour. She's on a plane, though. I don't know if she asked someone else to take her place. I need to go in order to save this video. My computer won't allow me to save a video. Save this audio. I can't save an audio and be on the mic at the same time. So I'm letting go, and we'll see who picks it up. But thank you, everyone.